ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today I'll speak on Vishnu Sahasranama, name 567. You may think, well, why not a special class on Balaram today? Well, the name is Halayudha, which is specifically a name of Balaram. It's not a name of Krishna or Narayana in his four-handed form in the Vaikuntha planets, or Matsya Kurama, Varaha, Narasingha, Vamana, or any of the others in the Dashavatar. Specifically a name of Balaram. I've been going a little slowly in the Vishnu Sahasranama, so I'd keep this name coming up. We just had the name Sankarshan, which is also a name of Balaram, given to Balaram by Garga Rishi. We find in the Bhagavatam that he was given the names Balaram, Rama, he was given the name Rama and Sankarshan. But there's also a separate form of the Supreme Lord called Sankarshan. This may be a bit difficult to understand. It's called Achintya. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. It means not difficult to understand. It's not possible to understand. That's why it's called Achintya. That means inconceivable is the pretty much exact translation of Achintya. So Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You may say, well, wait a minute. Here's the book you distributed. It says Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Balaram is Krishna's brother. So they can't both be the Supreme Personality. There's one God, right? Only one God? Yes, but he has many forms with different personalities. Krishna is very different to Balaram. Very different in many ways. They have the same values, but not even all the same friends. Balaram's a good friend of Duryodhana. Krishna doesn't like him at all. So what's going on here? If there's one God and he has many forms and they have different personalities, I don't think the Muslims are going to like that. They're really into one God only. He doesn't have any form or personality because he's not a person. He has many names, but not any personality. Only one. The Muslims, they find fault with the Christians for saying there is a Trinity. One God in three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So what about, how many, they have three manifestations of one God. They say one God, and Muslims say, no, it's not one God, it's three. How can it's three, they're different. So what to speak of? Avataram hi asankhyam. The Supreme Lord has unlimited avatars. Understood it? No. Balaram is non-different from this Krishna, but different also. Don't try to understand it. It's not possible. But if we could understand everything about God, then he wouldn't be God. He'd be like a butterfly in the laboratory. They capture butterflies and analyze their DNA and all this. They want to try and understand everything about everything, the scientists, and they don't understand anything about anything of any real import. So, a name for Balaram is Halayudha. It's not a name given by Garga Rishi, but then he gave formal names to Krishna and Balaram. And he said that he told Nanda Maharaj that your son has had many names and many forms. He has many names according to his activities, his pastimes. So like that. Someone may have an official name, but then they may pick up names as they go along according to their activities. Just like Krishna, after lifting up Govardhan Hill, became known as Giridhari, Govardhanadhari. And then after the whole Leela was over, Indra came and coronated him as Govinda, King of the Cows. That name was already there, but specifically was given as King of the Cows. So, according to your activities, you can pick up names as you go along. So Balaram is known as Halayudha. Hala means plow, and Ayudha means who has the weapon. So a weapon, a plow. You don't think of a plow as a weapon. In fact, in the Bible, there's a famous statement, they will beat their swords into plowshares. So swords are meant for fighting, and plows, or plowshares, which is a long way of saying, and an archaic way of saying, it's only used in this saying, it's not used otherwise in English. It means a plow. So they're both made of the same thing. They're made of steel, or I'm not exactly sure what Krishna's sword is made of, because steel was only invented fairly recently. When was it invented? Anyone know? History of science. Sometime in the 19th century, I believe. It's one of those breakthrough things which revolutionized the world and made modern society possible. Industrial revolution. They will make their swords into plow. So the idea is the sword is for fighting and the plow is for the peaceful activity of farming. Farming is a peaceful activity, although the Jains think that it's violent, because by plowing you may kill so many worms and different living beings. So they don't eat potatoes, because you have to pull them out of the earth. Even to live in a house, it's made of bricks, right? So you have to take up the earth. It's not a very practical philosophy, Jainism. They insist on non-violence, but you can't avoid it. The Supreme Lord is violent. Balaram is violent. Not all the time, but as required. So he uses his plow. Srila Prabhupada said for plowing. Obviously the plow is for agriculture. We don't have any record of him specifically using the plow for agriculture. Because he was in the farming, in the cow herding community. In farming, there are two main areas. One is agriculture, and the other is animal husbandry, which means looking after cows and goats and pigs with the aim of getting food products from them in the form of milk or meat, or whatever. And other things, leather, but usually it's mostly for food. Then there may be other things also, like apiary, keeping bees, and having fruit orchards, and horticulture, flowers, and then decorative, yeah, orchard means for fruit, generally, although it can be for, yeah, orchard means fruit, and forestry, these are all different, but the main things are krishi, agriculture, and goraksha. Apiary, I didn't say, that means keeping, keeping bees, did I explain that? No. Beekeeping. So Balaram has the plow, and it's specifically as a weapon. And you might think, well, that's a strange weapon, because first of all, how can you use it as a weapon? I mean, you can imagine if you hit someone over the head with a plow, it would pretty much finish them off. But how can you lift it up in the first place? Well, the answer is, you can't. Balaram can, because he's Balaram. He's very strong. He's generally known for his club weapon, but the plow comes in handy also for certain purposes, which I'll read from Krishna book about that. It's a common name of Balaram, and you'll find it several times in the Bhagavatam. We concentrate on the Bhagavatam, but most likely if you go through Vishnu Purana and other texts, you'll also find that. There is another interpretation which could be of the name Halayudha, which could be ascribed to any form of Vishnu. This is from Parashara Bhatta. He says that because the discussion of the Panchamaha Bhuta just came up in the previous verse, Vanamali. That's earth, water, fire, air, ether. So it symbolically, the Supreme Lord, he works like an agriculturalist with a plow. He tills the soil in such a way that it may produce food. Plowing for that. So in the same way, Bhagawan, he works or oversees the material elements so that they may be useful. Unlike the scientists who think that this tremendous arrangement has all come about without any design, it's all brought into being by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kauntaya jagadviparivartate. He oversees by my supervision, maya dhyakshena, this material nature, suyate, comes into being. If you think a little bit about it, you can easily understand the Sanskrit. Just like, what's the word for a delivery after pregnancy? What's the Sanskrit word? Prasuti. Prasuti. You'll see there's prasuti ghar, means a maternity hospital. So prasuti means bringing into being. So suyate. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. Maya means by me. Adhyaksha. So aksha means eyes. And adhi means over. So it's the same word, supervision or oversee. It has the same connotation in English and Sanskrit. Prakriti means material nature. It's a common. Suyate. I bring into being. Maya. Sacharacharam, which means prakriti along with chara and achara, means moving and non-moving. So it's all going on by Krishna's supervision. So how does he use his plow as a weapon? Well, you probably all know, but anyway, Whoops, I had the page marked and now it's not there. So you'll just have to... No, that's one page, but there's another also. So I'll just have to chant Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari a little bit while I find a page. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. It's Hari Rama Day. But we can also chant Hare Krishna because Balaram likes Krishna. So if we say Hare Krishna, he'll be pleased. Oh, that is the right page. And then there's another one missing them. Okay, so at the end of the chapter in Krishna book, which means the translation of the Srila Prabhupada's translation with comment, summary study, he calls it, of the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan. So Lord Balaram, after Krishna and Balaram had left Vrindavan, after some time Balaram came back, and he would dance with his own group of gopis and make them very happy. And then one time, it's described that one is very famous, is called Revati, and the other one is, who said that? Varuni, who's the daughter of guess who? Varuna. So she, just like the Yamuna is a goddess person, she exists in this world in the form of a liquid, river, water. So Varuni exists in this world in the form of sweet sap, like honey, coming out of the trees. So Balaram likes to drink that. It's a staple on Balaram Purnima to have a big feast with lots of honey. And then all the devotees get intoxicated, and I remember it must have been 1975, because I was allowed to join this movement in 1975. So I remember in London we had a big feast with honeyed drink, honey mixed with thick yogurt. So after it all drunk, plenty of that, plus other preparation, then we all went out on the street for Harinam Sankirtan. You either do that or go to sleep for 5 hours. So better go on Harinam. So he drank this honey, and they all became drunk, intoxicated, seemingly, because Balaram is, after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even if he's apparently intoxicated, it's not like you or me would be intoxicated by drinking alcohol or taking lots of honey. So while Balaram was in that happy mood, he desired to enjoy the company of the gopis in the water of the Yamuna, as he's dancing with the gopis in Vrindavan. Therefore, he called the Yamuna to come nearby. Yamuna! Oh! Vrinda! Come here. How? Therefore, yeah, he called the Yamuna to come nearby. But, you see, you know, when you're God and you want to go and swim in the river, you don't have to go to the river, you call the river to come to you. But the Yamuna neglected the order of Balaramji, considering him intoxicated. Lord Balaram became very much displeased at the Yamuna's neglecting his order. He immediately wanted to scratch the land near the river with his plowshare. Oh, there it goes. In the Bible and in Prabhupada's books also. Lord Balaram has two weapons, a plow and a club, from which he takes service when they are required. So Balaram's dancing on the in the forest of Vrindavan, and he brings his plow with him, and No. So how's he going to? He's going to get a plow. How does he get it? He takes service when they're required. This time he wanted to bring the Yamuna by force, and he took the help of his plow. Means when he wants, the plow comes. That's all. He desires, and the plow is there. He wanted to punish the Yamuna because she did not come in obedience to his order. He addressed the Yamuna, "You wretched river, you did not care for my order. Now I shall teach you a lesson. You did not come to me voluntarily. Now with the help of my plow, I shall force you to come. I shall divide you into hundreds of scattered streams." So if you have a plow, of course there are different kinds of plows, but there's one with the looks like an arrow head. So that makes, what's that called? Furrows, yeah. So if you do, you can imagine if you do that with a river, that will cause the river to be canalized, small canals, and then by canalizing the river, the river loses the main flow. Now I shall divide you into hundreds of scattered streams. When the Yamuna was threatened like this, she became greatly afraid of the power of Balaram, and immediately came in person, falling at his lotus feet and praying thus, "My dear Balaram, you are the most powerful personality, and you are pleasing to everyone. Unfortunately, I forgot your glorious exalted position. But now I have come to my senses, and I remember that you hold all the planetary systems on your head, merely by your partial expansion, Shesha. You are the sustainer of the whole universe. My dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are full with six opulences. Because I forgot your omnipotence, I have mistakenly disobeyed your order, and thus I have become a great offender. But my dear Lord, please know that I am a soul surrendered unto you, who are very affectionate to your devotees. Therefore, please excuse my impudence and mistakes, and by your causeless mercy, may you now release me." On displaying this submissive attitude, the Yamuna was forgiven, and when she came nearby, Lord Balaram enjoyed the pleasure of swimming in her waters, along with the gopis, in the same way that an elephant enjoys himself, along with his many she-elephants. After a long time, when Balaram had enjoyed to his full satisfaction, he came out of the water, and immediately a goddess of fortune offered him a nice blue garment and a valuable necklace made of gold. After bathing in the Yamuna, Lord Balaram, dressed in blue garments and decorated with golden ornaments, looked very attractive to everyone. Lord Balaram's complexion is white, and when he was properly dressed, he looked exactly like the white elephant of King Indra in the heavenly planets. The river Yamuna still has many small branches due to being scratched by the plowshare of Lord Balaram. And all these branches of the river Yamuna still glorify the omnipotence of Lord Balaram. So there's one instance of Balaram threatening to use. He must have scratched her somewhat, because Srila Prabhupada writes, the Yamuna still has many branches. This word plowshare, I think that must have been put in by Hayagriva, who was editing, because he is a literary kind of person. He's the one who put in "the blessed Lord said," which is a very biblical kind of expression. Chapter 65 of Krishna book, The Marriage of Samba. The Marriage of Samba. Duryodhana, the son of Dhritarashtra, had a marriageable daughter by the name of Lakshmana. She was a very highly qualified girl of the Kuru dynasty, and many princes wanted to marry her. In such cases, the Svayamvara ceremony is held so that the girl may select her husband according to her own choice. In Lakshmana's Svayamvara assembly, when the girl was to select her husband, Samba appeared. He was the son of Krishna's by Jambavati, one of Lord Krishna's chief wives. This son, Samba, was so named because he was a pet child and always lived close to his mother, Sa Amba, with mother. The name Samba indicates a son who is very much his mother's pet. Amba means mother and Sa means with. So this special name was given to him because he always remained with his mother. He was also known as Jambavati Suta for the same reason. As previously explained, all the sons of Krishna were so qualified as their great father, as qualified. Samba wanted Duryodhana's daughter Lakshmana, although she was not inclined to have him. Therefore, what do you do in such a case? Samba kidnapped Lakshmana by force from the Swayamvar assembly. Vedic culture. For Kshatriyas. Because Samba took Lakshmana away from the assembly by force, all the members of the Kuru dynasty, such as Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Vidura, and Arjuna, thought it an insult to their family tradition that the boy Samba could possibly have kidnapped their daughter. All of them knew that Lakshmana was not at all inclined to select him as her husband, and that she was not given the chance to select her own husband. Instead, she was forcibly taken away by this boy. Therefore, they decided that he must be punished. They unanimously declared that he was most impudent and had degraded the Kuru's family tradition. Therefore, all of them, under the counsel of the elder members of the Kuru family, decided to arrest the boy, but not kill him. They concluded that the girl could not be married to any boy other than Samba, since she had already been touched by him. According to the Vedic system, once being touched by some boy, a girl cannot be married or given to any other boy. Nor would anyone agree to marry a girl who had already thus associated with another boy. The elder members of the family, such as Bhishma, wanted to arrest him. Thus, all the members of the Kuru dynasty, especially the great fighters, joined together just to teach him a lesson. And Karna was made the commander-in-chief for this small battle. So it's all the Kauravas against Samba. While making the plan to arrest Samba, the Kurus counseled among themselves that upon his arrest, the members of the Yadu dynasty would be very angry with them. There is every possibility of the Yadus accepting the challenge and fighting with them. But they also thought, if they come here to fight with us, what could they do? The members of the Yadu dynasty cannot equal the members of the Kuru dynasty, because the kings of the Kuru dynasty are the emperors, whereas the kings of the Yadu dynasty are able to enjoy their land only because we have granted it to them. The Kurus thought, if they come here to challenge us because their son was arrested, we shall accept the fight and teach them a lesson, so that automatically they will be subdued under pressure, as the senses are subdued by the mystic yoga process of pranayama. So the Kauravas are ready for a fight with their own relatives. They didn't seem to have any compunction like Arjuna did on the battle of Kurukshetra. Srila Prabhupada notes that in the mechanical system of mystic yoga, the airs within the body are controlled and the senses are subdued and checked from being engaged in anything other than meditation upon Lord Vishnu. After consultation and after receiving permission from the elder members of the Kuru dynasty, such as Bhishma and Dhritarashtra, five great warriors, Karna, Shala, Bhuri, Yajnaketu, and Duryodhana, the father of the girl, who were all Maharathis, and who were guided by the great fighter Bhishmadeva, attempted to arrest the boy Samba. There are different grades of fighters, including Maharathi, Ekarathi, and Rathi. classified according to their fighting ability. These Maharathis could fight along with many thousands of men. All of them combined together to arrest Samba. Samba was also a Maharathi, but he was alone and had to fight with the six other Maharathis. Still, he was not deterred when he saw all the great fighters of the Kuru dynasty coming up behind him to arrest him. He could have expected that. Alone, he turned toward them and took his nice bow, posing exactly as a lion stands adamant in the face of other animals. Karna, leading the party, challenged Samba. "Why are you fleeing? Just stand and we shall teach you a lesson." When challenged by another Kshatriya to stand and fight, a Kshatriya cannot run away. He must fight. Therefore, Samba accepted the challenge and stood alone before them. But as soon as he did so, he was overpowered by showers of arrows shot by all the great warriors. A lion is never afraid of being chased by many wolves and jackals. Similarly, Samba, the glorious son of the Yadu dynasty, endowed with inconceivable potencies as the son of Lord Krishna, became very angry at the warriors of the Kuru dynasty for improperly using arrows against him. He fought them with great talent. First of all, he struck each of the six charioteers with six separate arrows. He used another four arrows to kill the charioteer, the charioteer's horses, four on each chariot. Then he used one arrow to kill the driver and one arrow for Karna, as well as the other celebrated fighters. While Samba so diligently fought alone with the six great warriors, they all appreciated the boy's inconceivable potency. Even in the midst of the fighting, they admitted frankly that this boy Samba was wonderful. But although it was improper, they obliged Samba to get down from his chariot, now broken to pieces. Of the six warriors, four took care to kill Samba's four horses, one struck down his chariot driver, and one managed to cut the string of Samba's bow so that he could no longer fight with them. In this way, with great difficulty, and after a severe fight, they deprived Samba of his chariot and were able to arrest him. Thus, the warriors of the Kuru dynasty accepted their great victory and took their daughter Lakshmana away from him. Yeah, we won. 6-1. Thereafter, they entered the city of Hastinapur in great triumph. "We did it! We did it! All of us, six together, we defeated one young boy." The great sage Narada immediately carried the news to the Yadu dynasty. There you go, that's Narada for you. That Samba had been arrested and told them the whole story. The members of the Yadu dynasty became very angry at Samba's being arrested, and improperly so by six warriors. Now, with the permission of the head of the Yadu dynasty, King Ugrasena, they prepared to attack the capital city of the Kuru dynasty. Although Lord Balaram... There we go. Balaram's first appearing in this chapter. Although Lord Balaram knew very well that by slight provocation people are prepared to fight with one another in the age of Kali. Important instruction, huh? He did not like the idea that the two great dynasties, the Kuru dynasty and the Yadu dynasty, would fight among themselves even though they were influenced by Kali Yuga. He didn't like that they would fight each other. He remained neutral in the battle of Kurukshetra. Instead of fighting with them, he wisely thought, "Let me go there and see the situation, and let me try to see if the fight can be settled by mutual understanding." Balaram's idea was that if the Kuru dynasty could be induced to release Samba along with his wife, Lakshmana, then the fight could be avoided. He therefore immediately arranged for a nice chariot to go to Hastinapur, accompanied by learned priests and Brahmanas, as well as by some of the elder members of the Yadu dynasty. He was confident that the members of the Kuru dynasty would agree to this marriage and avoid fighting with the Yadus. As Lord Balaram proceeded toward Hastinapur on his chariot, accompanied by the Brahmanas and elders, he looked like the moon shining in the clear sky among the glittering stars. When Lord Balaram reached the precincts of the city of Hastinapur, he did not enter but stationed himself in a camp outside the city in a small garden house. Then he asked Uddhava to meet the leaders of the Kuru dynasty and inquire from them whether they wanted to fight with the Yadu dynasty or to make a settlement. Uddhava went to see the leaders of the Kuru dynasty and he met all the important members, including Bhishmadev, Dhritarashtra, Dronacharya, Duryodhana, and Bahika. After offering them due respects, he informed them that Lord Balaram had arrived at the garden outside the city gate. The leaders of the Kuru dynasty, especially Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, were joyful because they knew very well that Lord Balaram was a great well-wisher of their family. There were no bounds to their joy on hearing the news, and so they immediately welcomed Uddhava. In order to properly receive Lord Balaram, they all took in their hands auspicious paraphernalia for his reception and went to see him outside the city gate. According to their respective positions, they welcomed Lord Balaram by giving him in charity nice cows and argya. And argya is defined here, a mixture of arati water and an assortment of items such as honey, butter, flowers, and sandalwood pulp. Because all of them knew the exalted position of Lord Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they bowed their heads before the Lord with great respect. They all exchanged words of reception by asking one another about their welfare. And when such formalities were finished, Lord Balaram, in a great voice and very patiently, submitted before them the following words for their consideration. My dear friends, this time I have come to you as a messenger with the order of the all-powerful Lord Ugrasena. Please therefore hear the words, please hear the order with attention and great care. Without wasting a single moment, please to try to carry out this order. King Ugrasena knows very well that you, the warriors of the Kuru dynasty, improperly fought with the pious Sambha, who was alone, and that with great difficulty and unrighteous tactics, you have arrested him. We have all heard this news, but we are not very much agitated because we are most intimately related to one another. I do not think that we should disturb our good relationship. We should continue our friendship without any unnecessary fighting. Please therefore immediately release Sambha and bring him, along with his wife Lakshmana, before me. When Lord Balaram spoke in a commanding tone full of heroic assertion, supremacy and chivalry, the leaders of the Kuru dynasty did not appreciate his statements. Rather, all of them became agitated, and with great anger they said, "Oh, these words are very astounding, but quite befitting the age of Kali. Otherwise, how could Balaram speak so vituperatively?" You know what vituperatively means? Well, you can understand. Well, you can understand from the context. Yeah. Speaking in a manner that is not expected. The language and tone used by Balaram are simply abusive. Actually, the language and tone wasn't abusive. If you read the way Prabhupada has described it. But they see, because they don't like his order, they're finding so much fault with his manner of delivering it. Oh, he didn't speak properly. And due to the influence of this age, it appears that the shoes befitting the feet want to rise to the top of the head where the helmet is worn. So it's very insulting. In other words, they're saying that the Yadus are just like our shoes. We are connected with the Yadu dynasty by marriage, and because of this they have been given the chance to come and live with us, dine with us, and sleep with us. Now they are taking advantage of these privileges. They had practically no position before we gave them a portion of our kingdom to rule, and now they are trying to command us. We have allowed the Yadu dynasty to use the royal insignias like the whisk, fan, conch shell, white umbrella, crown, royal throne, sitting place, and bedstead, along with everything else befitting the royal order. They should not have used such royal paraphernalia in our presence, but we did not check them due to our family relationship. Now they have the audacity to order us to do things. Well, enough of their impudence. We cannot allow them to do any more of these things. Nor shall we allow them to use these royal insignias. It would be best to take all these things away. It is improper to feed a snake with milk, since such merciful activity simply increases venom. The Yadu dynasty is now trying to go against those who have fed them so nicely. Their flourishing condition is due to our gifts and merciful behavior. And still they are so shameless that they are trying to order us. How regrettable are all these activities. No one in the world can enjoy anything if members of the Kuru dynasty like Bhishma, Dronacharya and Arjuna do not allow them to. Exactly as a lamb cannot enjoy life in the presence of a lion, without our desire it is not even possible for the demigods in heaven, headed by King Indra, to find enjoyment in life. What to speak of ordinary human beings? This is madness. They think that the rulers of the universe. Actually, the members of the Kuru dynasty were very much puffed up by their opulence, kingdom, and aristocracy. Family tradition, great warriors, family members, and vast expanding empire. They did not even observe common formalities of civilized society. And in the presence of Lord Balaram, they uttered insulting words about the Yadu dynasty. Having spoken in this unnecessary, unmannerly way, they returned to their city of Hastinapur. It was a very dangerous situation. They could just say, "Oh, okay, he's all right." No, you're unfit. So they're precipitating a fight. So they came out. They greeted Balaram. He said something they didn't like, and they said, "Phew, who the hell are you?" And walked back in the city and left him. Although Lord Balaram patiently heard their insulting words and simply observed their uncivil behavior, from his appearance it was clear that he was burning with anger and was thinking of retaliating with great vengeance. His bodily features became so much agitated that it was difficult for anyone to look at him. He laughed very loudly and said, "It is true that if a man becomes too much puffed up because of his family, opulence, beauty, and material advancement, he no longer wants a peaceful life but becomes belligerent toward all others. It is useless to give such a person good instruction for a gentle behavior and a peaceful life. On the contrary, one should search out the ways and means to punish him. Generally, due to material opulence, a man becomes exactly like an animal. To give an animal peaceful instructions is useless." You can imagine, just with the cows, if you please, please, just come here. You have to show the stick and shout at them to get them to move. And the only means is argumentum ad baculum. In other words, the only way to keep the animals in order is a stick. Nagudo pashavo yata is the Sanskrit for this. Just see, Balaram says, how impudent are the members of the Kuru dynasty. I wanted to make a peaceful settlement despite the anger of all the other members of the Yadu dynasty, including Lord Krishna himself. They were preparing to attack the whole kingdom of the Kuru dynasty, but I pacified them and took the trouble to come here to settle the affair without any fighting. Yet these rascals behave like this. It is clear that they do not want a peaceful settlement, for they are factually warmongers. With great pride, they have repeatedly insulted me by calling the Yadu dynasty ill names. Even the king of heaven, Indra, abides by the order of the Yadu dynasty. And you consider King Ugrasena, the head of the Bhojas, Vrishnis, Andhakas, and Yadavas, to be the leader of a small phalanx. Your conclusion is wonderful. You do not care for King Ugrasena, whose order is obeyed even by King Indra. Consider the exalted position of the Yadu dynasty. They have forcibly used both the assembly house and the Parijata tree of the heavenly planets. And still you think they cannot order you? Yeah, from the heavenly planets came the assembly house that's used in Dwaraka by Krishna. Sudharma. Yeah, that's the name of it. And the Parijata tree, which Krishna went to the heavenly planets, took out the Parijata tree. And so they defeated Indra. Krishna alone defeated Indra and all the demigods and took the Parijata tree. And you think that you, it's because of you that they have an exalted position? Don't you think even that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can sit on the exalted royal throne and command everyone? All right! If your thinking is like that, you deserve to be taught a very good lesson. You have thought it wise that the royal insignias like the whisk, fan, white umbrella, royal throne and other princely paraphernalia not be used by the Yadu dynasty. Does this mean that even Lord Krishna, the Lord of the whole creation and husband of the Goddess of Fortune, cannot use this royal paraphernalia? It's practically atheism on their part. No, Krishna, he's not fit for that. Unless we give permission, Krishna's not fit for all this royal paraphernalia. The dust of Krishna's lotus feet is worshipped by all the great demigods. The Ganga water inundates the whole universe, and since it emanates from his lotus feet, its banks have turned into great places of pilgrimage. Why is the Ganga great? Because she comes from the lotus feet of Krishna. And you think Krishna gets mercy from you. The principal deities of all planets engage in his service and consider themselves most fortunate to take the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their helmets. Great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even the Goddess of Fortune, and I, are simply plenary parts of his spiritual identity, and still you think that he is not fit to use the royal insignia or even sit on the royal throne. Alas, how regrettable it is that these fools consider us, the members of the Yadu dynasty, to be like shoes and themselves to be like helmets. It is clear now that these leaders of the Kuru dynasty have become mad after worldly possessions and opulence. Every statement they made was full of crazy proposals. I should immediately take them to task and bring them to their senses. If I do not take steps against them, it will be improper on my part. Therefore, on this very day, I shall rid the whole world of any trace of the Kuru dynasty. I shall finish them off immediately. That includes Arjuna. While talking like this, Lord Balaram seemed so furious that he looked as if he could burn up the whole cosmic creation to ashes, which he can, of course. He stood up steadily, and taking his plow in his hand, Alayudha, here we go, began striking the earth with it. And in this way, he was separating the whole city of Hastinapur from the earth. And then he began to drag the city toward the flowing water of the river Ganga. So with his plow, he separated the city from the earth. Then he stuck the plow and he was going to drag the whole city to the Ganga and drown the whole city. This caused a great tremor throughout Hastinapur, as if there had been an earthquake, and it seemed that the whole city would be dismantled. When all the members of the Kuru dynasty saw that their city was about to fall into the water of the Ganga, and when they heard their citizens howling in great anxiety, they immediately came to their senses and understood what was happening. Thus, without waiting another second, they brought forward their daughter Lakshmana. Big talk. You can't use the royal insignia without our permission. And who do you think we are? We'll teach them a lesson. And Balaram came and said, who do you think you are? This Balaram, who are we talking about? And Balaram, okay, you know, used to talk, get the plow, and we'll just throw them all in the Ganga, the whole city. Then, here's Lakshmana with Samba. Oh, you wanted, oh, it's very nice you came for the wedding. Very good, thank you. Sudden change of attitude. They also brought Samba, who had forcibly tried to take her away, keeping him in the forefront with Lakshmana at the back. All the members of the Kuru dynasty appeared before Lord Balaram with folded hands just to beg the pardon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, using good sense, they said, "Oh Lord Balaram, reservoir of all," you know, a moment ago they were saying, "Who the hell are you? You're nothing. We give permission even to Indra," and all of a sudden it's all turned around and said, "Oh, you are the maintainer and the supporter of the entire cosmic situation. Unfortunately, we were unaware of your inconceivable potencies. Dear Lord, please consider us most foolish. Our intelligence was bewildered and not in order. Therefore, we have come before you to beg your pardon. Please excuse us." You are they praise him, and in between they keep on saying, "Sorry, please excuse us." And then they say, "Please excuse us," and they go back to praying to him. "You are the original creator, sustainer, and annihilator of the whole cosmic manifestation. And still your position is always transcendent," because they're not sure, you know, he's still angry and he might just throw them in the Ganga anyway. "Oh, all-powerful Lord, great sages speak about you. You are the original puppeteer and everything in the world is just like your toy. Oh, unlimited one, you have a hold on everything, and like child's play you hold all the planetary systems on your head. When the time for dissolution comes, you close up the whole cosmic manifestation within yourself. At that time, nothing remains but yourself lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu. Our dear Lord, you have appeared on this earth in your transcendental body just for the maintenance of the cosmic situation. You are above all anger. Balaram, you're God, right? You're above all anger, envy, and enmity, right? So let us alone, leave us alone. Whatever you do, even in the form of chastisement, is auspicious for the whole material existence. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you because you are the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences and potencies. O creator of innumerable universes, let us fall down and offer you our respectful obeisances again and again. We are now completely surrendered unto you. Please therefore be merciful upon us and give us your protection." And then they're just waiting. What's he going to do? When the prominent members of the Kuru dynasty, from grandfather Bhishmadi to Arjuna and Duryodhana, had offered their respectful prayers in that way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Balaram, immediately became softened and assured them that there is no cause for fear and that they need not worry. For the most part, it was the practice of the Kshatriya kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and bridegroom before the marriage. Kshatriya wedding, few people get killed. It's a normal thing. You see sometimes in the papers in India, someone gets killed at the marriage, the bridegroom gets shot by the bride's boyfriend or something like that. Kshatriya marriage is just normal. Few people get killed here and there. When Samba forcibly took away Lakshmana, the elder members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased to see that he was actually the suitable match for her. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him, and without respect for the regulations of fighting, they all arrested him. When the Yadu dynasty decided to release Samba from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter, and as a powerful Kshatriya, he ordered them to free Samba immediately. The Kauravas were superficially insulted by this order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable strength. Thus, with great pleasure, they handed over their daughter to Samba, and the whole matter was settled. Duryodhana, being affectionate toward his daughter Lakshmana, had her married to Samba in great pomp. For her dowry, he first gave 1,200 elephants, each at least 60 years old. Then he gave 10,000 nice horses, 6,000 chariots, dazzling just like the sunshine, and 1,000 maidservants decorated with golden ornaments. Lord Balaram, the most prominent member of the Yadu dynasty, acted as guardian of the bridegroom, Samba, and very pleasingly accepted the dowry. Balaram was very satisfied after his great reception from the side of the Kurus, and accompanied by the newly married couple, he started toward his capital city of Dwaraka. Lord Balaram triumphantly reached Dwaraka, where he met with many citizens who were all his devotees and friends. When they all assembled, Lord Balaram narrated the whole story of the marriage, and they were astonished to hear how Balaram had made the city of Hastinapur tremble like an earthquake. It is confirmed by Shukdev Goswami that in those days the river flowing through the city of Hastinapur, present-day New Delhi, was known as the Ganga, although today is called the Yamuna. From authorities like Jiva Goswami, it is confirmed that the Ganga and Yamuna are the same river flowing in different courses. The part of the Ganga which flows through Hastinapur to the area of Vrindavan is called the Yamuna because it is sanctified by the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. The part of Hastinapur which slopes toward the Yamuna becomes inundated during the rainy season and reminds everyone of Lord Balaram's threatening to cast the city into the Ganga. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 68th chapter of Krishna, the marriage of Samba. So there is Balaram with his plow weapon. And there'll be more discussion a little later, about 11:30. Yeah, okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hala Yudha Balaram Ki Jaya. Hare Krishna.